Choice Tunes, every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2pm, with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Welcome to Choice Tunes, and you know what we do there? We get a special guest in, we find a bit about their lives, and we find about the music that has had an influence on their lives. And this afternoon we've got Nadine Clunan, who you've just listened to in the last hour talking about the Healesville Festival, but this is all about her life and what's brought her to this time. But not only that, it's all about the music that have played part of her life. So welcome again, Nadine.
Oh, thanks, Alan. They'll be sick of my voice.
No, they won't be. And this time we're going to find out a lot more about you. Nadine, whereabouts were you born?
Yeah, so I'm a Victorian girl and, born in Melbourne. And I went to school in my high school years were in Healesville. And I left for about 20 years and then came back and the town's changed quite a lot, I must say.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. All right, so let's go way back. Let's not get in front of ourselves. So you're born in Melbourne. Mm. Why did you come to Healesville? Was it your parents came and moved here?
Yeah, look, it was actually my grandparents. So my grandparents were very instrumental in my life. And, so I was living with them in their on their farm in Tlangi. And then I came back to Healesville, actually, to be near my grandparents again when I, you know, as a married woman, came back.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so when you were in Melbourne, is that where you did all your schooling, or did you do any of your schooling up here in the Yarra Valley?
Look, my mum's a Queensland kid, so I did some primary school up in Queensland. I started in Ringwood and then, finished in Queensland and then came back and did, two lots of high school in Healesville and I had some high school in WA. So Dad was in the mines. So one of those kids that kind of travelled a bit.
Oh, you've been all over.
Yeah.
All right. So when you were we don't worry too much about school because everybody went to school.
It's a long time ago. I might not remember much anyway.
No, it's not that long. Not as bad as me. But anyway, so what was your first job?
Oh, look, I had some work like a lot of country kids do. I worked on the farms up in Tlangi. So it might have been picking potatoes for Peter Perry up there, you know, by hand and in the mud. Not a job I remember fondly, no offence to Peter and the family.
All right, so then you moved on to your first full-time job. What was that?
So my first full-time job was actually when I joined the Navy at 19. Before that, I had some casual jobs in hospitality, but I joined the Navy at 19 and
See the world or what made you join the Navy?
Can I just say that that's a lie, particularly in the Australian Navy. we're just so far from anything. Quite often our ships stick pretty close to home. I got as far as South Pacific and Micronesia. And if you're fortunate enough to be on that particular ship that might get sent up to do an exercise with America, then you might, you know, get up to somewhere near the States. But, I never did. I was mostly based around Australian ports.
So, but were you mainly on the ships or were you mainly on land?
Oh, half and half.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the first role I had with the Navy was like a radar operator, so I was in the ops room at sea, and then I changed rates and became what they called then an electronic warfare linguist, which put me in to the Australian Signals Directorate there in Canberra. And they taught me Indonesian fairly well, and, you know, that was a time. But look, As a young person, the Navy was a great thing for me. It certainly gave me some stability, and I was paid well to really then think about what I wanted to do. Yeah.
So how long were you in the Navy?
10 years.
10 years? Mm. So then what did you do then, Nadine?
Yeah, so then I had some time in Queensland with my husband, and we managed a little resort and did something completely different.
Right.
And then I started really my public service career with the Victorian government. So I worked for the Office of Police Integrity and then the Anti-Corruption Commission, IBAC, still exists. Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, it was at times.
Yeah.
And look, I must say, and anyone who does the Lilydale line, it's a slog commuting to the city.
Yep, it is.
But, you know, I did it for quite a long time. And then my long service leave came up, and I just thought, well, this is an opportunity. It coincided with my grandfather becoming quite ill.
Right.
So I thought, you know, it's very hard, and people will know, anyone with responsibilities, if you've got 3 hours of commute on top of your work day and then other responsibilities, it's pretty tough.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you got out of the public service and...
Yeah. I took a job. It was completely foreign to me, but I went into disability support, which I could work casually, much closer to home. I was working mainly in houses in Lilydale, and I, you know, could sort of structure my shifts around being there to take my grandfather to appointments. And it was quite overwhelming to begin with, and then I completely loved it. And I realised quickly, as I went from quite a well-paid job to a not well-paid job, that the jobs that are most important in our community are often not the ones that are valued the most.
And I've interviewed a number of people over the years, and I always say to anybody that's in those sorts of situations, you're not in it because you love the money. You earn a lot more money if you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
You're in it because you really love the people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I learnt so much, and I learnt so much about communication, and anyone who works in the sector will tell you that communication's far more than words, and you learn very quickly that everyone has things that give them great joy and you know, will make them sad, and you learn to look for all those clues in a person's face or body, you know, and it was wonderful.
All right, let's get on to the start with the music. You've got Moana Swing and what's it called?
Django Reinhardt.
Django Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Why did you pick that one?
Oh, okay. So, actually, that's from my grandfather. So my grandfather, he passed at the end of May of this year, and I miss him very much. And he had a wicked sense of humour, and he was a very clever man, and he also loved music, and he all different types of music. But he really taught me a lot about some of the great classics, I suppose. And Django Reinhardt was a guitarist that my grandfather admired very much, so I've chosen that one for him.
Let's play it. Oh, I missed the tail end. Nadine, so you've worked in corporate, you've worked in the sector with helping people, which mm-hmm. is terrific. So is that what you're still doing, or you're no longer in the working field yourself? Or
No, I am still working. I've actually taken some hospitality work at one of the lovely breweries in Healesville. But and then I'm also applying for full time work again now that my grandfather has passed. You know, I've got, yep. I guess I've got that time. Yep. And while I'm waiting for the right job, I'm also a foster carer. So
tell us a little bit that, because we, as you might have known, we had Anchor in I think last week, and we were talking to Heidi and those. They tell me there's an absolute desperate need for foster carers at this very moment.
Yeah, that's right, Alan. And, you know, you'll hear it often across all media at the moment because it is Foster Care Week, but yep. There's a desperate need for carers. And a figure that I read recently was, you know, for every one foster carer, there's 10 children that need to be cared for, and you know, so they'll end up in situations where they'll be, you know, with a staff member, and they're in a hotel, which is, you know, I guess we all have to just think about what we perhaps knew as children, and that's not the kind of childhood we want for ourselves or any child we love in our lives, and I think it's just important for people to perhaps not be frightened to have a go. Yep. This is something I, you know, I've only done in my late 40s, but I'm really pleased that I've started. And it was a nerve-wracking thing, but I love it.
And it does, like, I think a lot of people think of foster care that you get a child and you've got them for the next 10 years. But, I mean, you can do respite care, can't you? Take them short term.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Know, and a few weeks or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. You know, emergency, respite, short term, they're all options. And when you do your training, and it's wonderful training. Well, I trained with Anglicare, but I thought they were magnificent. And, you know, you get the opportunity to speak about your experience and perhaps where you see your strengths with children, and they'll do their best to match you with a child that's, you know, going to be suitable, I guess, in your home environment. And there's great support for you while that's going on. I just think everyone should remember that these are just children from families that are perhaps going through some struggles, and they just need some support.
And it's not the child's fault.
Absolutely
not.
We
need to remember.
Yeah.
All right. Another one for your granddad, is it?
Yes, so hopefully we've got Sister Rosetta Tharp and Didn't It Rain Children.
We certainly have.
Oh, the sweet horsey. Oh, this is the wonderfulest time of my life. Oh, let me tell you something. Uncle Joe, can't beat it. And the people are so sweet to stay here. And I come in on them.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I come in on. Oh, yeah! Let me see. David, in the heat of the day, tune up the harp and begin to play. rain, you know it rain. Oh, hot rain, rain too long, all night long. Rain, 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 rain. Good day, rain, oh yes. Didn't it, yes. Didn't it, you know it, did I, didn't it.
Indeed, you've worked in the Navy, you've worked in corruption, IBAC, and various other things in people's homes. What made you get involved in the very first place with the Healesville Festival of Music?
Oh, good question, Alan. So, like a lot of nefarious things in life, I was in the right shed at the right time.
That happens, yeah.
And, yeah, it was just a group of, well, you know, friends and musicians, and my husband's a musician, and they were talking about the lack of opportunity at that time. We've been running 13 years now, but, yeah, performance in the local area, and a good, you know, and well done to them. Instead of whinging about it, somebody with the bright idea, I don't think it was me, someone said, well, why don't we start our own festival?
And that's how it came.
And that's how it came about, yeah, and so we just started as a one-day event, but so I've been involved in some capacity from the start.
So you said your husband is a musician. Have you involved yourself as a musician or a singer or anything?
Yeah, look, I was in his band for 5 years.
And is that how you met him?
No, well, look, he was playing in a pub.
Right.
And I requested a song and he ruined that song.
And you've never forgiven him?
No, I forgave him pretty well. But he's a lovely man. But look, so that's how we met, but 23 years ago. Nobody else would have taken me into their band. I think, it was just a set of circumstances. He needed a bass player. He had a wonderful bass player who upped and moved to Byron Bay, because that's what white men with dreadlocks do, Alan. He needed a bass player. And look, I'm not very good, but he was a very patient man, and he just essentially taught me the songs. And, you know, we did a lot of pub gigs and that kind of thing. And it was a lot of fun for a while, yeah.
It would have been a very interesting conversation when he went up and told him he killed the song. I can't say that went well.
He did warn me. He did say that he wasn't probably going to do a very good job. But anyway, look, it was. But he had such a. Fortunately, the rest of his personality completely outweighed it. Yeah.
All right, Dolly Parton and Jolene. Why?
Yeah. So we're jumping all around, aren't we? That's funny.
Doesn't
but
matter,
I, yeah. Look, I was thrilled to be asked to do this, Alan. And yeah, I actually really enjoyed that journey of sort of walking through memories and you know, in a sense, holding the hands of the people that had influenced my music over the years. And you know, and it's so interesting how, you know, a song will come on the radio and you're immediately back in a place or with a person.
And that's what Choice Tunes is all about.
It's wonderful, So for me and the song Jolene, I think of my little brother. I say little brother, he's 45. And but he is my little brother always. And he, when he was about... oh, maybe four. I remember him just singing this song over and over with his tiny little kid's voice. And, you know, when I say singing the song, just the chorus. But he loved it so much. And it's a lovely memory when I think back on it. You know,
well, I hope you're going to get him to listen to the podcast and you'll embarrass him.
That's right. Tell all his friends.
Let's listen.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please. Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain. And I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep. And there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man. But you don't know what he means to me, Jolene.
Nadine, we like to ask the really big, hard questions in this show. What was the first car you bought?
Oh.
Not your parents, the first car you bought.
The first car I bought was a, I thought it was golden, but in hindsight, probably more like a pooey, shiny brown VL Commodore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty fancy and probably just a complete petrol guzzler. Yeah. Yep.
Dire Straits, so far away.
Yeah, look, this was a lovely memory for me. So in 1986, I found out when I did my Googling, 1986 was when I had this memory of sitting with my mum at the Rockhampton Music Bowl in Queensland. Uh-huh. And, yeah, Dire Straits were playing. And I just, yeah, I remember hearing this song and also we hadn't bought tickets, so we were sitting, like, out on a hill. They were like little ants lit up in the distance. Yeah. And my mum was just so happy and there was just this beautiful, I don't know, light on her face and it was so lovely for her. She'd, yeah, you know, my mum had had a pretty tough life, a pretty poor upbringing and then some really violent marriages and but I just remember it was kind of almost the first time I remember looking at her and thinking she's so happy. Yeah, so this song brings back a lovely memory.
All right, let's play that. Far away from me, I'm tired of making out upon the town. Nadine, I want you to forget all about qualifications, what your experience is, and anything like that. Say you're just a person, or not just a person, but you're a person with no necessary background. Forget about qualifications. If I said to you, you could have any job in the world, forget about living here and having a husband and therefore you're tired, what job would it be?
I love this. You know, I'd love to teach English as a second language to, to people, refugees, migrants, to adults. I'd love to teach it. But again, it's usually just a volunteer position, so it's quite difficult if you're trying to pay bills. But yeah, that would be my ideal job. I would love it.
But in Australia or somewhere else?
Yeah, completely, to go and work with people like the Asylum Seekers Resource Centre. Yep. I would love it.
Terrific. Titus and Anthem, how did that one make the grade?
Yeah, so Titus is an Indigenous word. It means sisters.
Oh, does it?
And so these are three incredibly talented Indigenous women. And I first saw Titus perform at the 1999 Woodford Folk Festival, which is a completely magical festival on the Sunshine Coast, held sort of across from Boxing Day through to New Year's Day. And I just remember being completely blown away by their performance and their harmonies. And yeah, and although they're not together as a group anymore, they're individually, they're still very active in their communities and as voices for reconciliation and treaty within Australia. And yeah, so this song really, really speaks to that.
Sing me an anthem, 'cause you don't know the words. Words are hard to remember when they mean nothing at all to the heart who's still waiting for their voice to be heard. Don't sing me your anthem when your anthem's absurd.
Message out on Yarra Valley FM through station sponsorship. Our listeners want to hear about your business, so they can support you while you support us. We're a not-for-profit organisation run mostly by volunteers and serving our local community with an independent voice. We also give local people the opportunity to learn valuable media skills. Details of our sponsorship packages are on our Promote Your Business page at yarravalleyfm.org.au or call us on 5961 5999 and let us tell the Yarra Valley and beyond about your business.
Nadine, yeah, Fred Smith and Four Strong Hands. Why did that come into the selections?
So Fred Smith, got me doing it, is he's an Australian musician, and in this particular song and songwriter, and with this song he's joined by the wonderful Liz Frensham, and she's a double bassist and beautiful vocalist. But it took me years to be able to listen to this song without tearing up. It's just the most beautiful
song.
Don't
cheer up now.
I probably will. So I think if you've spent any time, you know, in the country, and perhaps, you know, you have farming people in your family, or you know people who farm, you know that it's incredibly difficult, and it's a huge struggle for people. We were just saying off air then about, you know, if we're not on fire, we're flooding, and there's, you know, Blaze Aid do a wonderful job. We need flood aid now, don't we? And we've got another La Nina coming. But anyway, this beautiful song by Fred Smith is the story of a couple and, you know, being pushed to the brink and holding on strong together. And it's just so beautiful.
Let's listen.
Guess I don't have to tell you that was the bank man on the phone. He reckons we're gonna have to sell here. We can't repay the loan. Things haven't worked too well here since the drought in 95. And ever since we worked our fingers to the bone just to stay alive. But to lose this farm would break my heart. I have worked here, man and boy. I am too old for a new start. And many a dream we've seen broken. Many a fire through our back door. Many a harsh word spoken. I can't take it anymore. So sign this letter to my brother. Take a pistol from the shelf. We'll put two rounds through its chambers and put an end to all this hell. And take my hand. Walk into an empty night. Take my hand now, love. I have lost my will to fight.
Many a dream have we seen broken. Many a fight through our back door. Harsh word spoken. It hasn't been easy, that's for sure. Kids moved out, went to Melbourne. It must have been a year ago. The summer months were hot and
right. Throw that letter in the fire. can stand. We can make a new start. Yeah, silly old fart. Cause we got four strong hands and two beating hearts. So take my hand now, love. Walk together through the night. Take my hand now, love. We can make it work alright.
Nadine, help. We can make it work all right. I get caught by his little tags at the end of the song. Nadine, how long did you say you've been doing foster care?
Oh, I'm pretty new into the system, so it's been 12 months.
All right. So it's and pretty hard to ask you the next question. So I won't ask it about yourself. I mean, obviously you may know other foster carers. What's the best story that you've heard about foster care, like the best outcome for someone, somebody who was in dire straits, who went into foster care and turned their lives around as a child? Have you got any stories like that? Yeah.
Oh, look, I don't, except I was in foster care as a child. Yeah, for a short time. And
so what effect did that have on your life?
Look, I was very fortunate. The people that my brother and I stayed with were amazingly kind people, and I have only good memories of those people, and it was certainly a catalyst for me wanting to do it myself.
And you were lucky, because once upon a time you didn't always go together, did you? Like the brother could have gone to someone else.
It still happens, Alan. It's really, it's really sad that siblings get split, but it does happen. But and that's probably why I just held on to it for so long. I just thought, well, you know, this is something I want to do. And I look at us rattling around in our big houses here in Australia, and, you know, some of us do have a spare room and we can help out, and I'm certainly in that category, and I'm really pleased I did it.
Great. Brown Bird, Fingers to the Bone.
Yeah, look, this song is just, maybe, you know, it's one of those tracks that just grabbed me immediately when I heard them. And I think I was playing double bass in a band at the time, and this husband and wife, with my husband, and this husband and wife duo, Morgan Eve, she's on the double bass, and Dave was the guitarist, banjo player, stomp. And I just found the musicality just so incredible and so inspiring. And I'm not a thousandth of the player that Morgan Eve is, but this is one of the songs I loved playing most when I was in the band. Yep. And although I got a bit anxious playing, there was some really lovely gigs that my husband's band was getting, and I didn't feel I had the skill to maintain it. But in my poor double bass, it's not played at home now, but sometimes I look at it and wish that I was playing this song again.
All right, let's listen.
Got a pretty little penny, have I got to show? I ain't looking for much, just a little bit of rest by the side of the road. I lift my voice to the force above, the lords of labor and the goddess of love. Ain't I been a good, hard worker, fit for serving the sun? Turns black and it cracks the thundering voice. Work is what you are when you're breathing in and out. Your final breath falls to the floor. Swing down that sledgehammer through the wood. A little test of mind over flesh ought to do you good. And get up off the ground. You can lay down when the day is done. And on the seventh day you can lay in the morning sun. I wanna make my home on a mountain high.
It's just me and my lover in the big old sky. I ain't asking for much, just a little bit of rest for the day that I die. I lift my voice to the forces above, the lords of labor and the goddess of love. Ain't I been a good, hard worker for the serving sun? You are, you're breathing in and out. Your final breath falls to the floor.
Sky,
so swing down that sledgehammer through the woods.
Work is what you are, you're breathing
a little
in
test of mind over flesh ought to do you good. Get on top of the ground, you can lay down when the day is done. And on the seventh day, you can lay in the morning sun. Swing down that sledgehammer through the woods. A little test of mind over flesh ought to do you good. Get up off the ground, you can lay down when the day is done. And on the seventh day, you can lay in the morning sun.
What a way to go, lying in the morning sun. Mm-hmm. All right, Nadine, look, it's been fabulous having you along. Thank you for putting the time and effort into finding your songs. Well, it shouldn't be hard because it's part of your life, but thank you for being part of Choice Tunes.
Oh, I've loved it, Alan. Thank you.
Loved to have you. Kieran Fields, Out on the Porch. Sounds good. Why did you pick that one?
This is such a joyful song, and Kieran Fields, yeah, she's the last performer I saw live a few months ago, and she's an inspiring person with a huge heart and smile, and I really think that we're probably going to hear a lot from Kieran Fields in the next few years. Well, if we don't, we should. And if you see her name on a festival poster, go see her. But she's quite an inspiring person. And I'd say take your young people who are interested in music, because she's just so wonderful. And this song is, it's a lot of joy. It's about how Kieran wants to go.
Just one quick question, we've got a few seconds. First of all, at what stage did you start learning the double bass? And what made you take up? Because it's not an instrument I would have thought that a person would normally take up. I would have thought more of a guitar or something. What made you pick the double bass?
Look, it's a stunning instrument to look at. And
bring
I started
the card around.
Yeah, that's right. You need the right vehicle. But I started on the electric bass. But it was actually Liz Frensham, who we heard Fred Smith doing Four Strong Hands. I just loved watching her play, and she's really one with her instrument. And I thought, I want that. But these visions don't come with the background knowledge of just how much practice you need to do.
I got to go. Thanks. Thanks for being a part of it, Nadine.
Oh, thanks, Alan.
1, 2, 3, 4. Guitar slicker, banjo picker, drinking Johnny Cash's liquor out on the porch. That's how I want to die. Yeah. sunset and see the stars. Tell the world to kiss my out on the porch. That's how I want to